All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Friday, November 17th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to get you started, keep winning on FanDuel and DraftKings. Head over to the site, as always, DFSR.com/NBA. We'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL, NBA, MLB when the time comes. So really all covered in their one subscription package. We don't section it off by provider or by whoever wrote the articles or do whatever some of these other sites do. It's just if it's available on our site, it's available for you. So go check it out. Free for 3 days. $39.95 a month.
$34.95
a month after that. And you are all set to go. Buddy, could it work out any other way? Last week, we stacked Steelers all over the place.
Sure. Take them. Left, right, and center. We'll take Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown, Boswell. And to a man? What happened?
Well, last week, they completely no-show. Thursday night, they go completely ham on the Titans. They can't be stopped. I mean, Bell doesn't get into the end zone, but Brown more than makes up for it.
Bell, 15 points, still outscored his previous week's total. All four of those guys, by the way, better this week than last week.
It was an example of why I said this, I think, in the recap podcast or maybe the cash game podcast, but that I thought this was a good Thursday slate to play because these guys also still stood out to me as being the obvious plays. So in our Thursday through Monday lineups, which we had some cash games in on, those guys end up being there. So I'm not complaining it from the results on last night. It just seems like it just goes in waves like this, where it seems like the obvious thing doesn't happen and then everyone kind of gets off of it. And then the next obvious thing, that was supposed to happen last week now happens this week. I don't know.
It's a long game with a short season, unfortunately. So you only hit the long run right as the season is ending effectively. And then you have to restart with new assumptions next year. So basically you can have great assumptions, not get there in the short term, and then, you know, just hope that over time your great assumptions pay off.
And they did last night. Like I said, those guys went great. And you really shouldn't lower your expectations on those kinds of players, Brown and Bell specifically. I mean, Roethlisberger.
Yeah, based on one game.
Right, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. And for them, the usage was there
Boswell
last night.
Boswell, too. The guy's a god. I mean, 16 fantasy points again.
Boswell was another one we had. And last week, he's missing extra points. He's missing field goals. Anyway, we're going to break down every game on the NFL main slate here for Sunday. As always, DraftKings does not include the Sunday night game in their main slate. There are some of the assumptions kind of change between the two sites, but that's not going to affect us too much as we break these games down game by game. A lot of very low lines that we're going to see. Not to say that a lot of these week games are total skips. I mean, I was on the Fantasy Pros podcast yesterday as a guest, and what we realized was that you know, when you're talking about a lot of these games, the plays are very much concentrated between, you know, three or four games. There are considerations for some of the other ones, but when you look at the Vegas implied totals this week, they're very low across the board. I don't think there's one underdog that has more than 21 implied points, and a lot of just the games don't have more than 21. No, not even the favorite has more than 21 or 22 points. That's very low, just in general. So just something to keep in mind this week. You're going to hear there's going to be more discussion about some of these games than others, but we can kind of get into it.
Yeah, and it's not a new complaint, but 8 games on the 1 o'clock and then the 3 games at 4 o'clock, and the games are just horrendous. Buffalo, LA, Chargers, Cincinnati, Denver, New England, Oakland. Like, wow, they just want everyone else to go spend some time with their families in the afternoon. It's just totally crazy. I can't for the life of me figure out why they can't just split those games evenly.
I think my guess is that they want to suck everyone in with their team at 1 o'clock to make sure you're around for the 4 o'clock, and then they just put a feature game on a 4, knowing that you're already there.
It's like the middle of the afternoon. You're tired. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
go out
East
for
Coast
a jog?
Is dark. Like the East Coast is already dark out. Fair. Like you're not going out anywhere. So
it's dark.
I actually think that is like what they're doing, because they're putting all these games there just to kind of suck you in, get you to the bar, get you onto your couch or whatever, and then just know that you're going to be around.
You'll stay around, you pigs.
All right, let's get into it. Washington goes into New Orleans. This is a game we did talk a lot about yesterday on the Cash Game podcast, just because we are going to see, I think, a lot of ownership from here. We talked about Breeze, we talked about Ingram, we talked about Thomas, and then I think on the Washington side, we're still waiting on some injury news. One guy that I talked about yesterday that I think could go under-owned, especially in tournaments, is Cousins this week. So if you look at the implied total they're the only team that has an implied total like up over 20 or up around 22 points. So Cousins is a guy who he kind of at this point I think the Redskins definitely fall into the camp of have some offensive weapons, cannot run the ball at all, right? They have not been able to run the ball all season. Rob Kelly being there or not being there doesn't affect whether they can run the ball or not. Like, and Samaje Perine doesn't affect whether they can run the ball or not run the ball. I think he's going to pass a ton. Like, I think 45 or plus passing attempts in this game, especially if they get down, seems like it's in the cards. What do you think about him as a tournament play, and anything else you like from the game that we maybe didn't mention yesterday?
Yeah, I think Cousins is a very reasonable option here. I mean, going into New Orleans, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks go in there, get out of the bad weather of wherever they're from, and go off. It also helps that the Saints are better offensively at home too, so there probably are just fewer or more possessions to go around here than usual. I think something in that 40 pass attempt range is probably correct. I think with Cousins, it's kind of weird too, because if you look down his game log, he's actually been mostly pretty awesome this season. I mean, he had back-to-back pretty bad games against Dallas and Seattle, which I think is pretty understandable. But outside of those games, 29 fantasy points, 25, 29, 21, 27. This guy's got real upside, and especially pairing him with someone like Crowder, you can tap into, you know, it's only 13.6 worth of salary on FanDuel for some legit, you know, combined, I don't know, 40, 50 point upside. And that's a lot to invest in just one team. So, yeah, I like Cousins. I think he's a good target. A reasonable cash game option, too, if you're thirsting in that price range.
It's close. It's always a little weird to start these underdog guys, and he's not so much cheaper than some of the top group.
He's more expensive than Breeze himself.
Exactly. So, like, I don't think I would necessarily – that's, like, one of the reasons I want to probably stay away from it there. 6,100 on DraftKings, so he is a little bit lower than the Brady, Alex Smith group that we kind of did discuss yesterday. But definitely a tournament option. The Saints have been surprisingly good against the pass this year. They rank fourth in DVOA there, and I tend to trust that number because they haven't passed on a lot this season because they've been winning so many games that the teams have had to just kind of resort to the pass. Now maybe when you know it's coming, you get a little bit better, but they've been very good. Their cornerbacks rate out very well. It's the only thing that dinged Crowder in our system a little bit was if he's going to see some Lattimore, and I forget who the other guy that he's going to see, but he is going to see some not so great matchups in the secondary. But all that being said, this is the game. This is one of the games in the slate that you want to stack. And we talked about Breeze, Ingram, and Thomas on the Cash Game podcast yesterday. Let's move into the next game. Detroit goes in to play Chicago. I believe there's going to be some weather concerns here. It's supposed to be cold in some spots and possibly even snowing in some spots. I think this is not one of them.
No, I just don't want to. I don't want to snow.
I thought you were saying, like, no, complaining that I would.
I hate the winter, by the way, and I hate seasons, people. I live in New Hampshire, so I think I have a right to complain about this. But if you love the seasons, I'm with you. I like fall. I like colorful leaves. You don't like it more than just being in San Diego all year long. That's all I want to say. I love living in New Hampshire. I'm not going to move, but snow? Come on, man. It's November.
Well, no one put a gun to your head.
I love living here. Like I said, there's a lot of reasons why New Hampshire. I can live anywhere in the world, and I chose New Hampshire, and I like it. And I think it's okay to be realistic about the downsides, which is that it gets pretty damn cold. So.
The total on this game is pretty low. Only 41 overall, 41 total points. And this is, I think, a weather thing because it started at 44 and dropped to 41. And I think that the cold weather and possible snow.
Injury things here, right?
Right, exactly. I think that 3-point drop is directly weather related. I don't know what that does for us with the passing game in terms of, you know, the Lions are favored here and they want to pass because they're another team that can't really run the ball. Like Abdullah can't run, and they just can't run the ball at all. So
you wouldn't know by how often he gets to try.
That's for sure. They keep giving him time and effort. But Marvin Jones was a guy we really liked going into last week, and he kind of drew some blanket covers that didn't really get him out into the passing game as much as possible. Tate's still been very good. What do you like here on the Lions side of the ball? And then also comment, like, Jordan Howard's a guy we started last week, and we're pretty confident even as an underdog. Do we feel the same way about him going into this week?
Yeah, I like Tate, I think. Marvin Jones is kind of an enigma to me. He had been so safe and then just disappeared with just two targets last week, probably because he was in our optimal lineup. So if you don't hold that against him, maybe you want to run him back out here. I want to be – so it's interesting with wide receivers and sort of like tier two level players, because guys like Marvin Jones actually can just disappear on a coach's or a quarterback's whim. So you want to be a little bit more cautious with guys like him than, say, Antonio Brown, who they're not just going to be like, well, you had a bad game. We're just going to throw to – Juju Schuster now, you know, like that's not going to happen to Brown. But I think Jones at this price point is a terrific big tournament play. For instance, I think you can probably wait a week and see if it comes back together for cash games. I said I liked Tate. The targets on Tate aren't really elite. The conversion rate is just completely nuts. Off the top of your head, I don't know if you looked at this, but so Tate in the last 3 weeks has had 31 targets. Do you know how many receptions he's had on that?
It's got to be I have no idea, actually. I want to say it's high, but then I also want to say it's low, so I don't know. What is it?
It's high.
Yeah
you're right. There's only been three times in the last 4 weeks where a ball's been thrown his way that he didn't turn it into a reception. So, yeah, he's completely going off. I think the Lions side of the ball, it's interesting for big tournaments, probably just doesn't get there for cash.
Yeah, Jones last week drew Jason McCourty. I was just looking up real quick while you're talking, and McCourty does actually rank top out as one of the highest rated Pro Football Focus cover cornerbacks this year, and they are a team that throws full cover or full shadow coverage at a guy, and we're actually going to talk about him in a little bit when we talk about some of these another receiver. But I hate to explain away, but no one likes apologizing for a bad play more than me, so I always like to. But I think finding the reasoning behind, you know, why these things don't turn out some ways, you know,
that's right.
I think that, like, you don't want to lower the expectation too much because, again, we knew this going into last week. He was getting dinged, and it wasn't as clear.
He was just cheap is the issue.
Right, exactly. Once we had kind of factored in some of the stuff, it wasn't as clear that he was a complete, like, standout play, but he still got there for us.
Well, sure, and McCourty's not like Nnamdi Asamoah, right? Like, it's not like he just goes in there and just over the course of a season, there's 9 balls thrown in his direction. Like, he's still a human being, and I think it was pretty reasonable to trot him out there. And I think your point is spot on. I mean, I think it's one of the things we notice in our chat room and with people that email us is the reason DFS is so hard is because people are always a day or a game late. Like, they always want to point to the previous thing and say, well, see, he was just bad this time, so we can't play him now. Just look what happened last night with Antonio Brown and company. Like, you just can't get carried away. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
Chicago side, Jordan Howard is a guy we liked because we thought that we liked him going into last week, thinking and it still bore out, but it just didn't. He didn't basically just didn't get into the end zone. But the carries and touches for him are pretty set no matter what's happening for
only
Chicago.
Only 15 last week. That's pretty low.
Yeah, I guess. Still 15. I guess my point is they were still running him when they were down late in the game.
Right.
Like, that's still part of their plan. Part of their plan is to run the ball with him even when they're down. In what could be a bad weather game where they might need to turn to him a little bit more, it's not like they're huge underdogs here, though they are playing at home. Do we like turning back to Howard? You mentioned him yesterday, like, possibly even liking him more than Kareem Hunt. I wonder if you still feel that way.
Yeah, I'm no fan of Kareem Hunt, of course, so it's more that I just kind of really, really hate him. I don't really love Howard this week. I was looking at this a little bit more closely last night, and I think that there's enough concern. It's like a two-pronged concern with him. There's the concern of how many carries he's going to get, I guess, like if he only got 15 last week, and also the concern as to what he does with them. You know, the issue the Bears have is largely that teams know they have to run the ball now, so I think the opportunity is there. I mean, I think the performances that he put in a 4 weeks death murderer's row stretch in Minnesota, Baltimore, and Carolina, well, and then New Orleans, who's actually been tougher against the run this year than they have been in the past. I think you can make some excuses for him there, basically, but you probably were hoping for a better game against Green Bay, so maybe 7,400 is a little rich for the cash game blood there.
I don't think you can do anything with their passing game, like I said.
No, of course
they,
not.
They don't want to pass. They're bad at it anyway, and I think you can pretty much move on after that. Baltimore goes in to play Green Bay. Baltimore is a -2 favorite here. I think they're going to get Danny Woodhead back. Baltimore is a team that you could, if you could pick the right week, you got some upside on some of the running back situations between Collins and Buck Allen. But I think with Danny Woodhead coming back, if he were to play, I think that probably muddies the water too much on some of these guys. Collins is coming very cheap on DraftKings, but I think if there was a three-headed running back monster back there, it's probably just even his low price is just too much. Jeremy Maclin had a big game last week. Anything to see here on Baltimore, and then we can talk a little bit about Green Bay.
No, I'm not going to play anyone on Baltimore. Anyone on Green Bay you want to play?
I actually don't mind Maclin. Maclin at 4,500 on DraftKings. He has seen some targets the last 2 weeks. He went 8 for 98 last week, 3 for 53 and a touchdown the week before after coming back from the injury. At 4,500, I think that you can. He doesn't strike me as like the worst kind of punt play. And now the weather is supposed to be bad here in this game too. I believe it's supposed to be very, very cold. So that probably affects it. Something that probably affects some of the passing game as well. Green Bay.
I can get a receiver who gets 6 targets a game in bad weather. You're telling me that's doesn't sound as bad. You're right. When you put it that way, that actually
if the weather was fine, I think 6 targets at 4,500 on DraftKings is reasonable. It probably does mean that the weather's probably just going to bump him down just enough. On the Green Bay side, do you know who's been the highest targeted Green Bay guy over the last 2 weeks?
No.
Devontae Adams. 18 targets.
I was going to say Devontae Adams. That's such an easy guess.
18 targets in the last 2 weeks. You had mentioned before how you like the idea sometimes of new quarterback sort of picking out it's not like Devontae Adams came out of nowhere. It's not, it didn't come out the practice squad, but it's clearly not Cobb and Jordy Nelson that are seeing the most targets on this
team.
Yeah,
well, they frequently like to go to those possession guys, and that's the role Adams served for Rodgers, and it makes sense that Hundley would go to him too.
Do you think he's in cash game play based on some of that target share. I mean, still Brett Hundley is throwing to him, and still, like I said, there are still some weather concerns here. But, you know, averaging 9 targets over the last 2 weeks with really no other situational changes, they're going to have to struggle to run the ball too, because Aaron Jones is out, and it looks like Jamal Williams is going to get all the carries there. So I guess between those two guys, Jamal Williams on the ground possibly and Davante Adams through the air, is there anything to get excited here in Green Bay, or just kind of just the team's just not good enough?
Yeah, excited might be too strong a word. I mean, Adams is getting the most targets, but those targets are obviously not created in the same fashion that they were from Rodgers. He's been solid the last couple of weeks. I mean, the opportunity of 18 targets over that course is something to take into account. There's no question about it. I think he's playable. I'd call him like kind of a slightly poor man Sterling Shepard or something right now. Shepard, roughly the same price range and just better quarterback play and more proven track record with the quarterback he's playing with. So if you can play both, sure, that seems fine. But yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way to play him.
Jacksonville is a -7.5 road favorite against the Browns this
road
week.
Road dogs.
Yeah, they are. They go in after having a week where Fournette just didn't really see the kind of touches we thought we were going to get from him. I don't know if I can't tell if it's an ankle thing or if it's just like a team sending a message thing after sitting him out the week before. Someone said yesterday that they thought that it was easy to suspend him 2 weeks ago because they thought he was still hurt anyway and it wasn't going to really matter, which I thought was an interesting take on that, because I had been firmly in the sending a straight message to him that you're not going to play. But I think that they thought it was kind of a combo deal, that he was still hurt and we don't really want to play him. And that may have explained the ankle still bothering it and why the touches are a little bit lower last week as well. How concerned are you about his usage? Because he had been among the highest used running backs in all of football to start the season. And now we get a suspension week and then a 15 or so carry week.
Yeah, I think bad matchup, low opportunity last week. I think both of those are already worth considering. And the fact that you're throwing in an injury concern too means that I'm just not going to pay the highest overall price for a running back at a given position. Cleveland just somehow has been insane against the run this year. That came up a little bit last week. They're up to 3.1 yards per carry allowed. But all that taken together, I think it's just a stay away from me.
I can't remember if I said this yesterday, but the Cleveland being great against the run is complete smoke and mirrors to me. They have faced... So this is...
Yeah, didn't we read those? I read off the teams on the...
Did we? I couldn't remember where I said. Okay, so anyway, if you look down the running backs they played, they have not played a running back at all this year, except for Le'Veon Bell week one. So you can take that with a grain of salt on the run thing, and it's actually not that I'm concerned with. It's just his usage that I'm a little concerned with. On the passing side of the ball, the other problem here is they're favorites, and that's where you really want to target... You really want to target running backs when they're favorites, and that's the clear case here. So I think, we talked about it, but I think it's close in the cash games. In the passing game, Marquise Lee's got... They're going to be done with Allen Hurns. I'm pretty sure he's going to be out this week. Now, Marquise Lee is the guy I wanted to mention, Marvin Jones. Marquise Lee is getting Jason McCourty this week. Now, Lee has gotten a ton of targets leading up to this point, and now is going to get possibly the highest rated cover cornerback in football so far this year. Does that tick you down on maybe some of Lee's usage here? And does it tick up the guys like maybe Keelan Cole, who's going to fill in for Hurns, and then Dede Westbrook, I think, is going to be the third wide receiver there. Any thoughts here on the Jacksonville passing game?
Yeah, it's a weird spot because in a normal week, I think I would like Lee here. I mean, he's got all the signs of a guy that you really want to start prioritizing, given that he's still very cheap and has been putting up numbers. Last four weeks, double-digit targets in three of those four. He's receiving yards. The lowest has been 55. So touchdowns in multiple of those weeks too. So I think Lee is actually a guy on the rise for me in my overall estimation. I think if he's going to see cover or corner coverage there, it's going to make it a little bit trickier to run him out. That being said, I don't know that I'm going to just go speculating on who's going to get the targets in his place. Vegas seems to think that Jacksonville's going to score here, but keep in mind too, 7.5 points is not really overwhelming. You're not an overwhelming favorite against a team that hasn't won a single game all season. So I think that some combination of Jacksonville guys will probably be good this week. I don't know that I'm feeling confident guessing who those will be.
Yeah, I don't mind. Throwing out a guy like Cole, just at the minimum in a tournament. I think that there is some upside
there. Well,
in a
tournament, sure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can always make guesses in a tournament, but like for your cash game purposes, 8 targets last week. That's pretty nice, but before that, I mean, you've got weeks with 2 and 1 and 3 targets.
Well, sure, but Allen Hurns was playing then. There's a clear reason. It wasn't like he was on the field for the same amount of snaps. We have a clear injury thing. Now, again, this is still Blake Bortles throwing the ball to you. This is not a great quarterback situation. It's not like, you know, it's not like you're the third wide receiver for the Packers with Rodgers back there, and all of a sudden you can start considering all these guys. This is not that.
Sure. So, well, and Allen Hurns played last week too. I mean, Allen Hurns had 9 targets last week. So if the thing is, well, Keelan Cole had 8 targets last week, and therefore with Hurns out, there's 9 targets to give around. And with Lee being shadowed the whole time, I hear you. There's reasons to think that he might be the guy, but we've seen countless time and time again, they're trying to figure out who the guy is, especially in the wide receiver 2 slot, that's going to take those receptions, is oftentimes a fool's errand. So yeah, it could work out. And maybe I change my tune when we're just looking at what the lineups look like with Cole in them. I actually haven't processed that yet, but as of right now, I'm hoping to not do that.
Well, nothing more than a tournament play for me, but just in the guys that are worth mentioning, Tampa Bay goes into Miami, no line in this game. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't think they're waiting on Jameis news. Like, I don't think he's supposed to start, so I can't figure out exactly why there's no line in this game. So if someone knows, let me know. But there's an implied point total, or maybe it's just a pick 'em. Maybe that's what it is. 41.5 over under. Yeah. Again, it does look like a pick 'em here. So Fitzpatrick, Cutler going into Miami here. Fitzpatrick's a guy we didn't mind on the cheap last week. He's actually a pretty popular play, too. Something like 40% in cash games, which I was pretty surprised about on FanDuel. He did not live up to it. Anything change in your view on Fitzpatrick here getting Mike Evans back? So Mike Evans, you know, a part of his issue possibly last week was not having his very, very best wide receiver. Does it change your tune on Fitzpatrick getting Evans back here against the Miami defense that's really just not all that good?
No, it doesn't really. I mean, Fitzpatrick, he hasn't really, I mean, he's actually had flashes in his career of being an efficient quarterback, but it hasn't really been throwing to guys like Mike Evans. Like, I would be pretty surprised if Tampa Bay just, like, took off the shackles and let Fitzpatrick just launch the ball downfield. And so given the fact that he's not really equipped to do that, that Evans is coming back from suspension, I just don't think it moves the needle quite enough for me to be interested.
Yeah, they said they want to run the ball more, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, every team wants to run the ball more. Doug Martin has got a ton of carries, has done nothing with him since coming back. He basically looked good on his first drive back from the suspension against New England, and that's pretty much been the only thing he's done this season. Look, Miami's a very bad defense, 31st overall in DVOA against the pass. I do think there is a chance you get scoring in this game. Like, there's a chance that Evans and Brayton and guys like this pay off. I could see that happening. And I don't think people are going to be on him as much because they're coming off a very bad week and it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not where I want to go in cash games, but I think there's a pretty strong case to be made for tournaments for this game because of the defense, especially on the Miami side. Landry's a guy on Miami that we talked a lot about yesterday, so we don't need to go back to him. Very consistent, really like him in cash games. Other guys here, I mean, we haven't completely sorted out their running game yet. Guys like Stills and Parker should both be playing. Does that cut into anything that you think about Landry here, or do you like some of the upside in guys? Like, I mean, Parker's has upside.
Yeah, I think Parker's a very good upside play. 9 and 8 targets in the last 2 weeks, in spite of going up against Carolina, which was a fairly tough matchup for him. Hasn't gotten in the end zone recently, but he's certainly capable of doing that, and he's obviously going to be lower owned than Landry. So, yeah, I think you can definitely keep an eye on Parker.
According to Pro Football Focus, Parker's going to get Robert McClain, who, by it looks like their numbers, is the worst rated quarterback in football. So
not very good at quarterback, you said?
Cornerback. Oh, cornerback. And by the way, who named these things? Why did they, like, when they were first coming, they had all the names you could pick, all the names in the world to pick from. Why?
Chaser.
That's what I mean. Like, Seeker. Yeah, let's just name the Quidditch names. Like, so I just don't.
Well, Chaser actually makes perfect sense.
Like, why would they? Why? I just don't understand why you would name two things close to each other. The cornerback, quarterback. It's like.
Well, it was a simpler time. You have to realize back in the 40s, they couldn't even put volume in movies yet. Like, people have no idea what's going on.
They're like, no one even passes the ball right now. They're never even going to say this position. Like, all they do is run with their leather helmets on.
Who could throw that far?
All right. Hit us up with a sponsor. We'll keep rolling with these.
Let's talk about DraftBoard.com. DraftBoard came on as a DFSR sponsor in the last month, and I really like what they have going on. The main things that DraftBoard does really well are, first of all, giving you a free dollar to play with to go check out their software, so go sign up and check that out. But what they really do nicely is create contests that are a lot more transparent, and I'll even say fair, than some of the other big sites. Because what they do is, when you sign up for, say, a head-to-head contest, you get paired randomly based on just whoever happens to otherwise be in the pool. So it can't be like, you know, if you've been struggling in your head-to-heads and some of the big sharks notice for whatever reason, they can't come and pick you off and try to eat up all your head-to-heads and that sort of thing. So draft board's really, really cool. I think they have a bright future. They have a really good management team, a guy from professional poker that I knew from back in those days. And I think they're going to be around for a while. So check them out, draftboard.com. Get started with a free dollar. And if you have the best overall score of anyone so far this football season, you get $10,000. Not pretty bad. So yeah, draftboard.com. Get to work.
I just fist pumped. I just fist pumped on the $10,000 thing. All right, Rams go into Minnesota. Very interesting line here. So the Rams have the biggest, the best points differential on the season right now. And I think that I saw something where they were like the only team ever to put up like, I don't know, something like over 100 points in two games or something like that. They had some just or maybe it was a three-week span. Some crazy three-week span of games. So they're plus 134 on the season. And now they go into Minnesota as road underdogs. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's like lack of respect for the Rams or if they, you know, Vegas is kind of thinking they're running hot or there is something to be said for this Vikings team that's coming off a big win last week. One, do you think, it's so hard to judge lines. This struck me as low to start. Do you think Vikings should be favored here, and what do we like from the game?
Well, something Minnesota has going in their favor is that they're excellent against the run. So this season they've allowed 3.4 yards per carry, second only behind Cleveland. So, and if you think Cleveland's a paper tiger, having faced basically no running backs, then Minnesota would be the best running defense in the NFL on a yards per carry basis. And so obviously, St. Louis, what are they? LA, the Rams. Their big strength these days is running the ball behind Gurley. And if you think that Minnesota can take away some of that run, then maybe the Rams will be a little bit more toothless there. So I think that could be what Vegas is seeing here. Minnesota's really good at defending against the exact things that the Rams do best. And then maybe you just don't believe in Goff. I don't know. I think it's reasonable to not believe in Goff, by the way. I know he had a big week last week, but I don't know that it's clear that he's just going to come in and just curb stomp the Vikings.
A couple guys that are showing up pretty high on our points per dollar system and actually getting very close to cash games are both Diggs and Thielen. It's something to do with some of the part of it's to do with some of the matchups they're getting and some of the multipliers they're getting on their matchups. The volume is just also, especially for Adam Thielen, has just been there.
Super consistent.
Over the course of the season. Could you see throwing him out there in cash games? $7,700 on FanDuel, so it's expensive, though he's been playing like a $7,700 wide receiver for most of the season, with or without Diggs, I should say. Like, so there was some concern that Diggs being back would eat into some of his target share. That really hasn't totally been the case. Do you trust either of these guys in cash? In one of, look, overall, it's a pretty low scoring week in terms of implied totals. Vikings do have one of the higher totals at 24 going in. So can you kind of talk yourself into playing either of these two guys in cash?
Yeah, I think Thielen's a phenomenal play for cash. 12 targets last week, 8 receptions, 166 yards and a touch. His best game of the season. I think he's just an excellent value in this price range. We oftentimes struggle to find good receivers in this price range, so he really checks that box if that's what you need. But yeah, overall, the consistency just seems to be there. There's nothing I'm concerned about with the matchup, so I think it's a full-on green light for Thielen.
Yep, I think I'm going to... This is one I'm going to want to see some player props on going into Sunday, which I think is going to break some of the ties that we have on a couple of these wide receivers, because there's a couple other interesting just guys to talk about that are in weirder situations we're going to get to in a couple minutes here as we get down the schedule. But that's definitely somewhere I'm looking, and I think there's some people, you know, look, if you want to try to run hot on the touchdowns out of the running game, I think you can consider Murray and McKinnon in GPPs. It's clearly not a cash game thing. They're just splitting the carries simply too much. But there is for a weird week, some low scores, I do think there's something to consider here. What about the Rams side? You guys, a couple of their receivers have put up big totals in the last couple weeks. Anything you like there, especially if you think they're going to get stymied on the run?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, Robert Woods was a guy that some people played last week after his 2-touchdown run hot game against the Giants. And of course, he follows it up by doubling his targets and his receptions and having 171 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of the best performers overall at the week at wide receiver. I think Woods makes for an interesting option. I mean, the targets had already been on the rise before going into the Houston game. He took a little dip back against the Giants, mostly because they didn't need to pass the ball very much. And if you believe in this passing game coming to life, which it sure seems like it is, I mean, Goff coming off of his 2 best games of the season, then Woods seems to be the guy. I mean, he's still 6,900, still very cheap. We could be getting him right now the same way we were on Adam Thielen early in the season, you know? Like, he actually kind of fits that profile of, you know, you have a quarterback without a very strong reputation, but without a lot of track record passing to any individual guy. And if he fills that role, I could see him being an excellent cash game and big tournament play.
Yep. You love the targets. The 8 targets are great.
8
receptions. 10 targets were great. You're not going to get the 94-yard reception like he had last week, but I think it's...
You don't know that.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know that. 52-yard touchdown the week before. So some of the long stuff is probably a little fluky, but yeah. but the 10 targets are real. So I'm like willing to excuse some of like the long stuff. Like it's not like Goodwin from last week, 1 target for 84 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, 59 yards are better in each of the 3 weeks prior. So it's not like he's a super luck box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's mostly what I say. I think some people will want to explain some of the performance away with the long touchdown. But again, like we said with Landry yesterday, the only way you get long touchdowns is by continually getting the ball, usually. Right, or you increase your upside to get that. So interesting stuff here from this game on a week where some of these games kind of do feel like skips. This is another interesting one. Arizona goes into Houston. It's interesting because we have two wide receivers. The last 2 weeks, the target leaders in football for wide receiver are DeAndre Hopkins with 30 and Larry Fitzgerald with 23. Now, they have Tom Savage as throwing to... Now, Hopkins went... 13 took 30 targets to turn them into 13 overall receptions. So not good. 43% conversion rate. Fitzgerald's pretty good. 23 targets, 15 receptions for a 65% completion rate. Though it looks like we're going to get Blaine Gabbert as the quarterback this week. These guys, the prices have come way down because of the quarterback changes here. But are we at a point where we can almost be okay? I mean, Hopkins is going to get Patrick Peterson, so maybe you just don't even want to avoid it for another week. But what do you think? These are the target leaders of the last 2 weeks, and they have just horrible quarterbacks throwing to them.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about a quarterback change. It seems like Fitzgerald is just the plan regardless of who the quarterback is there. Just signed a one-year extension, Doug, so congrats to Larry Fitz for rolling it back for yet another season. With Hopkins, I actually do like his prospects going forward. I think that the 43% conversion rate is just about as low as realistically it can be. I mean, I know he's kind of stabilized there with Savage so far, but also just putting up triple-digit yards in every single week and is the only guy that anyone seems to believe in on that team. So, yeah, I think both of them are good plays potentially in the future. I don't know that I want to dip into it this week. Like, it'd be hard to imagine taking Hopkins over Adam Thielen at the same price point, given Hopkins' worst matchup and terrible quarterback play. So, I don't know that I'll go there this week, but I'm still very interested in these guys going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting with Hopkins. It's more of a DraftKings thing. He's 6,100 over there, and he's in the same price tier as guys like Sterling Shepard, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker. He's actually cheaper than all those guys mentioned here. Again, if it was anyone but Patrick Peterson or like one of these top cover cornerbacks, I think the conversation would be actually a lot closer just because it's just an insane amount of targets. But overall, I think having that cover or having that shadow coverage on him this week means we probably get another week of price dip, and then we're having a real conversation with him next week about whether or not we can play him like this in the $6,000 tier. All right, let's keep rolling through the 1 o'clock games. The next one we have up is KC goes in to play the Giants. We talked a lot about KC yesterday. I don't think we need to revisit that conversation. We had a long conversation about Kareem Hunt, about whether the safety we felt with that. And after talking and reading some more about it this week, it does seem like the industry is a little more split than I thought it was going to be. On his prospects, which makes
smart
sense.
Smart people and people that aren't as smart, you're saying?
And I rolled my... No one could see me rolling my ass.
They split right down the center. It's like, whoa, look at all those geniuses on that side. And look at all these complete morons over here.
It's a Venn diagram of genius with almost no overlap. KC is minus 10.5 favorites against the Giants team. So I think we're not going to revisit this game too much. Alex Smith, cash game. Kareem Hunt, I think cash game. James thinks different. Kelsey is probably going to be a very, very popular play at tight end. And then on the Giants side, we talked about Sterling Shepard, and I still think another guy you can probably still consider is Evan Engram, who's basically essentially their wide receiver too on this team. He profiles as a wide receiver, runs his routes basically as a wide receiver, and has been getting target share like a wide receiver one or two. So I think after that on the Giants, it's really kind of tough to talk yourself into anything.
Yeah, I think that's probably spot on. I like Engram getting into the touchdown zone, as I call it, in each of the last four games. For some reason, in my mind, that was going to sound so funny, and then it did. So. But yeah, I think we pretty much touched on everything I need to say about this. I will say for Hunt, just to circle back to that, because this is the last time people will hear my voice going into the weekend, he may still wind up in our cash games. It's just like, or in our cash game lineups. It's just that I'm not very excited about it, and I think that it would look a lot more like a slam dunk if you just divided his season fantasy points per game by his salary and then plugged it into his matchup. But more like, I just want to bring attention to the context here, which is that this is a player whose performance has steadily declined for 6 weeks. So that's really all I wanted to bring to light there.
4 o'clock games. Buffalo goes in, flies across the country to play the Chargers. They take out Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback.
This is a game I'm excited for.
Tyrod Taylor is out as quarterback. Nathan Peterman is going to start at quarterback. They are now -4 underdogs to the Chargers. It looks like Phillip Rivers. I think the quarterback change, I don't know what's been going on with this team. Buffalo is a complete skip, even with McCoy. Like, now, they might give McCoy the ball more because of the quarterback change. This isn't a great matchup for them anyway.
Cool. Yeah.
I think the Buffalo is a complete and hot mess, so forget them. Chargers, it looks like Phillip Rivers is going to clear concussion protocol and is going to play this week. He practiced in full yesterday, which is usually the sign that it's all systems go for a guy. They were a team that featured, Melvin Gordon was not supplanted, but was outperformed by Eckler last week. Do you think there's anything to this kind of thing with Eckler? When there's a big performance from a guy, essentially a backup kind of guy, does that make you worried about the usage on the starter going forward? If there's like incentive or reasons to possibly play the backup a little bit more, does it concern you at all on Gordon?
Not really, just because Gordon's always been terrible and he's always just gotten tons of volume anyway. Like, he's been decent from a fantasy perspective from time to time because he's fallen into that elite touch category, but yeah, he just hasn't really historically done much overall, and still got 21 touches last week and 8 targets out of the passing game. So no, I'm not super concerned about Gordon. I also don't really want to play him. I think he's too expensive. I still think he'll be a reasonably high volume guy with upside, especially because he catches balls out of the backfield. I wouldn't play Eckler for sure. I don't even think in big tournaments. That's a reasonable speculation. And yeah, unfortunately, I think that's kind of sums it up. One guy I do like from the Chargers is Keenan Allen. I think Keenan Allen is... There's reasons. I wouldn't play him in cash for sure, but there are reasons why his performance has been down a little bit recently. I think you could see it, just basically some very tough matchups. I think you could see that turn around and turn into a bigger week this week.
Yeah, he was a guy we've been high on. The price hasn't come down enough for him.
71. He was up to 78 for a while.
Yeah, but the target share has been going down each week basically since the start of the season as they get a couple guys healthier. Mike Williams comes back there. I think as guys get a little healthier, I'm not really sure.
I think it's a matchup thing. I think he was against Denver, terrible matchup, and then New England, I don't have any great excuse as to why he wasn't good against them. He should have been. But then Jacksonville, by FanDuel's ratings, they're second and fourth in the NFL. By other rankings, DVOA and so on, Jacksonville and Denver still rate out highly. So, yeah, there's more to the story with Keenan Allen, just decreased target share. I think he'll go back to being a 9 to 11 targets guy per game, and it's still not clear that that's good enough on this price. It's just that he's got upside because the target share is there and the ownership should be low.
Cincinnati goes in and plays Denver. This is a game that I could... It's a little shame.
Is there a single player you can play on this?
No, probably not. Really can't play the quarterback. We definitely can't play the passing game going up against, for at least the Cincinnati side. You really can't play it's hard to play the passing game on the Denver side because Brock Osweiler is still the quarterback. I keep waiting for CJ Anderson to get more carries, and this seemed like it would be a spot where he could get some of that volume to go back up. I just don't really see it happening. This game is pretty much a full-on skip. The other 425, though, game, New England goes in to play Oakland. New England's -6.5 favorites on the road. We talked about Tom Brady as a cash game consideration for yesterday. It's really tough to figure out the rest of their running game. Like, Rex Burkhead's gotten more carries in the short term. They've given Deion Lewis the goal line carries. You could see Mike Gillisley come back out here. Is there anything?
James White still getting a lot of look in the passing game.
I think all these guys are tournament options on DraftKings, especially because they will throw. They don't really throw to Lewis anymore, but they will throw to the other two guys. So I think on DraftKings there is upside if you get some volume out of the passing game. One guy I'm interested in your thoughts here that was kind of brought to my attention yesterday in the Fantasy Pros podcast was Gronk. Gronk is the same price as Kelsey on DraftKings this week. And I kind of just slotted into my head Kelsey into lineups because of the Giants matchup. But Gronk's pretty damn good too, especially for the same price. Do you see this as a situation where he makes a nice pivot? Or possibly, if we were going to pay up for tight ends anyway, do we think we just want to roll with Gronk in this situation?
Well, so it's always going to be tough to want to just take a challenge bet on anyone v. Gronk. Like, Gronk has been the guy since the moment we first started doing this. Gronk and Kelsey have averaged the same number of fantasy points per game this season. So it's been a lot closer this season than I think a lot of people might realize. And that's just because the target share on Gronk has gone way down. You know, Brady's been passing to a lot of these mishmash of running backs, even in games where Gronk has basically been fully healthy all season, and the Pats haven't elected to lean on him as much as they had in the past. So I don't know if that's because they want to save him, they don't want to expose him to injury in games that don't really matter, or whatever the plan is here, but I don't know why that would really totally change for this game. I think Gronk is a reasonable play. I just don't think he's like... I don't think you have to force it, even if he and Kelce are the same price. I think Kelce strikes me as a player sort of on the rise, and Gronk strikes me as a player on the decline, and it's always hard to evaluate them in such different circumstances.
This is what I'm going to be interested to see where the Vegas prop comes in, and I'm hoping there's a prop on
right,
both.
Exactly. And this is a classic case where you just pick whoever Vegas goes with and then
exactly.
sleep easy.
Yep, right. I think if it's basically going to be a tiebreaker, which they basically are in our system. I mean, they're a quarter of a target difference in terms of overall fantasy production.
And this season, they're separated by 0.2 fantasy points per game.
Right, exactly. So I think if we see a clear favorite in terms of Vegas props, and again, I'm hoping we have them for both, I think that I'd be comfortable just rolling with that decision. And I think independent of that, I probably want to go Kelce, mostly because I think the ownership level on him will be higher. So, and all things being equal, I like to sometimes let that be, for cash games at least, let that be the deciding factor. Final game on Sunday is Philadelphia goes in and plays Dallas. Philadelphia -4.5 favorite here going in to face the Cowboys. It makes sense. Without Ezekiel Elliott, that team looked a lot different last week. And it just stands to reason when you lose one of the top, you know, one or two or three best running backs in all of football, that you're going to be significantly worse. They couldn't really get anything going on the ground. And that it really did actually kind of affect their offense in general, and that they weren't even able to sustain drives long enough to keep Dak around. Philly looks like they're going to be fully healthy. Ertz coming back. Alshon Jeffrey did sit out practice, though I think he's going to play. They've been putting up a ton of points. Guys like Wentz, do you think you could talk yourself into Wentz for cash games here? Mostly on FanDuel, you can't play it on DraftKings. What are your thoughts here on the Philly side?
I think Philly, to me, strikes me as good big tournament options. I think a lot of guys are expensive relative to their actual production from week to week, even if people have been on the rise more recently. I do think Jeffrey's somewhat interesting just because the pedigree's there, and we now have, two games where he put up pretty good fantasy totals. The only reason you can't play him in cash games is just the conversion rate is still pretty crappy. I mean, 6 out of 11 last week against Denver, that's actually pretty good. But 2 receptions on 8 targets against San Francisco, 2 receptions on 6 targets against Washington. I think at that really high-profile game like this, the leash might be a little bit shorter in terms of just watching him convert effectively 1 out of every 3 passes thrown his way into a catch. So for that reason, I can't see it for cash games. But if he gets clicking early and things are really moving, I think he could have a big game. For Wentz purposes, you know, sure, you can play him. He's definitely one of the guys in consideration for me. It's just given that you only play one quarterback, I just don't think for me he's going to be the guy I slot into my quarterback place.
His price is really propped up on the touchdowns. The touchdowns per pass attempt are like so far beyond even the second place guy.
It's not very easy to sustain that.
No, it was Deshaun Watson, and now that Watson's not around, I looked at this yesterday, but the difference between him and the second place guy was the same difference as the second place guy and like the 21st place guy. Holy. Like, so he's so far ahead of everyone on touchdowns by pass attempt, and that's just really just not sustainable, right? Like, it's just, we have a pretty long track record of like what you can expect even from the best quarterback in terms of the amount of attempts to touchdowns. Those numbers are not sustainable at all. Now, again, a lot of those are long touchdowns, and you think, okay, well, we would even made up some of the difference in the in-between on just passing the ball. I'm not really willing to go there because I do think that
doesn't always work out that
way. No, I do think that the touchdowns are just completely outsized. Last game, we'll just go through it real quickly.
Did you like anyone on the Dallas side before we get him?
Nah, not really. I just thought it's a tough. Dez. Maybe Dez. But Dez and Dak in a tournament is interesting, especially if it's a shootout. You can't play the running game at all. You can do a Dak. You can do like a Dak Dez stack. You can even do like a Dak Witten stack, I think, maybe.
Dr. Seuss over here.
It's not my fault, the name of the Dak. All right.
Dak Dez stack, the Dak Witten stack.
Atlanta and Seattle. The injury notes we're waiting on here are Devontae Freeman, whether he's going to play. Sure doesn't look like he's going to. Tevin Coleman would have been a fantastic main slate running back if we had been able to play this game. I still think Russell Wilson's a great play for cash games if you're going to play. I mean, I played him on the Thursday slate, so running through the entire week, I think that he's in a great spot. And again, you're only going to get him on those very short Sunday to Monday.
What do you think of those Seattle wide receivers right now?
I love Baldwin. I love Baldwin, and I think that he... Well, I think Baldwin's like a legit wide receiver one in terms of target share. Has run probably a little bit bad in the touchdowns department where they've gone to Lockett and Richardson. The running game there is still such a complete and total mess. They're going to get Eddie Lacy back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they slap back there. They can't run the ball at all. It's going to be all Wilson. And I just think that these are going to be very popular plays because of these short slates. All right, we're out of here. DFSR.com/NBA. Go check it out. Free for 3 days. $34.95 a month after that. We'll get you all set with optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA. Go over and check out our NBA podcast as well. We're recording that usually the same days we record football. So go, and if you're into playing DFS NBA, go check that out. Rate and review us on iTunes. Very much appreciated for climbing up the charts. We've seen the listenership grow over the short term. We think it's because people are sharing it with others and liking what they hear. So really appreciate it. We'll be back again next week, breaking down a week 11 that was. Buddy, enjoy it.
Later.